I would like to encourage everybody today that has something, you know, that you're praying about or someone that you're praying for, and maybe you have been praying for that person a long time. And I think that even sometimes in our minds with situations like that, especially things that go on for years, I think sometimes we begin to perhaps have a hard time seeing it resolved. You know, sometimes things begin to look, you know, to us like maybe this is just not going to happen. But I want to encourage you to just hang on to the Lord and keep praying, because the Bible tells me, and Paul wrote and said concerning God, and said that he can do exceeding abundant above what we would ask or think. God can do that. And I've seen some things happen in my life and in the lives of people that, you know, I suppose I was, you know, had reached that point where, well, is this, you know, is this ever going to happen? And then God took care of it. And we serve an awesome, powerful God. And he can just do that we wouldn't even ask or think that he could do. So we just need to hold on to God's unchanging hand and keep on praying. I'd like to share some scripture with you today from 1 Peter chapter 2. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, I'd ask you to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with the first verse, and read about the first 10 verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." The Apostle Peter, if you go back to the first chapter of this epistle, in verse 2, it tells us who he's writing to, who he's addressing in this letter. And it says, "Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied." Peter was writing this epistle primarily to people who were saved. And that's who he was talking about in verse 9 when he said, "But ye," which is an old English word, and if I understand right, when you read that word in the Bible, ye, and sometimes you'll read in the Bible where it says you, But when you see that in the Bible, ye, it means you all. It's a plural word. And so he's saying you all. Well, you all who? You that are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. You that are saved. You that are saved are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, and a peculiar people. Now, in this scripture, in this same verse of scripture, rather, he also talks about the fact that those who have been saved have been called out of darkness. And the thought that I want to share with you today is being, or perhaps to put it better, what God brought us out of and what God brought us into. I want you to think about both aspects of that, what God brought us out of and what He brought us into. And I have a great desire today, if you're here this morning in this service and you are lost, you've never been saved, you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, if you're here today and you're lost, my great desire and prayer for you today is that you'll be saved, that you'll turn to the Lord here today, that you'll repent of your sins, that you'll trust the Lord with all of your heart, that you will come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. If you find the Lord today, if this is the day of salvation for you, I promise you, as I have said in times past, I promise you that there'll never be another day in your life that will be like this day. This will be the best day that you've ever had. And nothing will excite this church as much as seeing somebody saved by the grace of God today. In fact, if you come to the Lord today and you seek Him for salvation, now, you know, the things that happen here today inside these four walls at Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, you're not likely, you know, to pick up the paper tomorrow morning, the Bowling Green Daily News, and see a big write-up on the church service that we had here this morning at Fairview Memorial. But the Bible teaches me that if you are here today and you're lost and you come to God in repentance and you seek Him and be saved, that it may not make the newspaper, but it will make the news in heaven. There'll be joy in the presence of the angels if you repent of your sins and trust the Lord today for salvation. And so that's my prayer, that you would be saved by the grace of God. So the Apostle Peter here said that concerning those that have been saved, concerning those that he said were a chosen generation, were a royal priesthood, were a peculiar people, he said that God called us out of darkness. And, you know, in a little while here, if the Lord allows just a few more hours of time, when we come back here this evening for service, before it's over with, we'll begin to see, look through the windows, and it'll be getting dark. And when we leave here, it'll be dark. And that's not, that natural darkness there is not the darkness that the Apostle Peter was writing about. But what he was talking about was that the Lord has called us out of the darkness of sin. And sin in the Scriptures is referred to many times by the term darkness. If you're living in sin, you're living in the darkness. If you've not been saved, you're not walking in the light, but you're walking in the darkness. And the Bible says that the god of this world, who is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now, when it gets dark here outside tonight, you and I, we could take our flashlight and we could turn the flashlight on and we could somewhat illuminate that darkness, that natural darkness can be illuminated by that type of light. But I'm telling you today that the only light that can illuminate this spiritual darkness, the only light that is powerful enough to illuminate the darkness of sin, is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came into the world, he said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so the only light, the light that the Apostle Paul spoke about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that light that shined out into that darkness is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when he saved me from my sins, he put that light in my soul. He lit me up. And the light of the Lord has been in my soul ever since the day that he illuminated my soul and called me out of the darkness of sin. And so that's what we were brought out of. We were brought out of darkness. If you go back to the 40th Psalm, David describes that darkness as a horrible pit and as miry clay. And if you're here today and you have been saved, you might just think about these thoughts and go back and think about the time that you were lost and without God, and what a horrible condition that you found yourself in. You know, those of you that are here today that have not been saved, and you've been here in our services, and you've heard people stand up and give their testimony and talk about the day that the Lord saved them and what a great day that it was. You also hear them from time to time in their testimony relate the knowledge that they had of knowing that they were lost and without God. You know, I remember the day that the Lord saved me, and I remember today what a blessing that it was when he did save me. But I also remember being in the darkness. I remember what it was like to be lost. I remember the fear that I had. I remember the dread that was in my soul. I remember the uneasy feeling that I would get when I would be around the people of God. I remember how uncomfortable I would become when I was around the people of God and they would begin to rejoice in the Lord and in what he had done for them. So I remember what it was like to be lost. And I'm going to tell you today that thank God in heaven that I'm not in that condition anymore. He called me out of darkness. You know, you may be able, going back again to the natural darkness that we know and what we experience when night falls, you may find yourself in that darkness. And you may, if you have sufficient light to illuminate that darkness, you may be able to find your way out. You may be able to find your way to safe haven or find your way home. But listen, the darkness that I found myself in when I was lost and without God, I couldn't find the way out. I couldn't get out by myself. I had to be guided out of that darkness. I had to be called out of that darkness. I had to be led out of that darkness. And lost friend, listen, let me assure you of this today, that you will never be able to save yourself. Amen. If you're lost today, you have a condition that you can't do anything about. You can't do anything about it. You're not going to find your way out of that darkness by yourself. You're not going to be able to bring yourself out of that darkness by your own power. There's only one way out. Jesus said, I'm it. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. So David, you know, gave praise to God. And you look in the 40th Psalm and you'll find there in the first two verses that he did, he gave praise to God because he said God had brought him up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. That's what God had brought him out of a horrible place. And you can go back and you can read about Joseph and how that his brethren were jealous of him, and they began to hate him to the point that they took him and they threw him into a pit. And then there was a band of Ishmaelites, merchant men, that came along, and they took their young brother out of that pit, and they sold him to those men, and they took him there into Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. But that type of pit that they had thrown Joseph into is not the type of pit that the psalmist was talking about there when he said God brought him out of a horrible pit. There again, he was talking about sin. God had brought him out of the darkness of sin. That was that horrible pit. That was the miry clay that he was praising God for bringing him out of. If you go back into the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, you will find there God promised some things to Abraham. And among those things that he promised, one of those things was that his descendants, that his posterity, his seed, that they would be a stranger in a land that was not theirs, and that they would be afflicted, and that they would be made to serve them and be afflicted 400 years. And we find that as we look into the book of Exodus, we find that what God had told Abraham was going to happen, that it had happened. That Abraham's posterity was in Egypt, and they were in bondage, and they were being made to serve the Egyptians, and they were being mistreated, and they were being afflicted. And so we find that God's prophecy there to Abraham had come to pass. And they were there, and the day come when God brought them out of that place, because not only had God assured Abraham that his descendants would be there and that they would be treated in that way, but God had also made it known to him. In fact, he stated in this way, he said, "Know of a surety that these things are going to happen." And they did happen. But not only did God tell Abraham that they would be in that place, but also that he would bring them out. That he would bring them out. Now for you and I today, what we are to see from that, from a spiritual perspective, is we are to see the deliverance that God can give us, not from a natural oppressor, not from the Egyptians or not from anybody else, but that God can deliver us from the bondage of sin. You see, that's what they were in there in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were enslaved. They were being forced to work as slaves. They were being forced to build great cities for the Egyptians. They were being forced to do these things. It was not convenient for them to be there, but they were having these things forced upon them. And so those of us, and those of you here today that are still lost, and those of us that have been saved when we were lost, that's exactly where we were at. We were in bondage, and I hope today that you can see yourself as a slave to sin, because that's exactly where you stand. If you don't know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, you are a slave to sin. You are in the darkness of sin. The devil has you in his clutches, and that's exactly where he wants you to stay until you die and leave the world and then have to spend an eternity separated from God because of that sin. And so you are in a horrible place. Listen, spiritually speaking today, lost friend, you are in a horrible place. You are in a horrible condition. You are in that horrible pit. You are bound in that miry clay. You are stuck in that miry clay. And there's just no way to climb out. You just can't do it. You cannot do it. Brother Edwards, remember what it was like to be lost and without the Lord. What a horrible feeling. I knew fear in that condition. that I have never known. I mean, I had a fear in my heart. I believe today that there's people here that can relate to what I'm saying. I had a fear in my soul. I had a fear about my eternity. I had a fear about my condition. That was a fear that nothing else in this world has ever scared me like that did. To know that I was lost, to know that I was in sin, to know that I was separated from God, to know that I hadn't been born again, to know that when those saints would stand up before me and testify of the goodness of God upon their soul, to know that I didn't have that. I know what the miry pit is, or what the horrible pit is. I know what the miry clay is, and I'm glad that I've been brought out. And I'm glad that I don't ever have to be in it again. And so God brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out on the Exodus there. And he began to lead them from the land of Egypt, from that place where they had been in bondage. But listen, it was not only God's intent and not only God's desire to bring them out of Egypt, but he also had something as he brought them out of Egypt and out of that bondage. He also had a place that he was going to bring them into. And I got a true blessing, to be honest with you. I really got a blessing in thinking about that and studying about that. And just meditating about that, about what not only what God has brought me out of, but what he has brought me into. Not only what he brought me from, but where he's taking me. Not only what is behind me that God has delivered me from, but what he's delivered me to. You see, God didn't just bring them out. You know, he wasn't going to just bring them outside of the boundaries of Egypt just so they could, you know, be clear of the bondage. But he said, I'm going to bring them out and I'm going to give them a good land. I'm going to give them a land that'll be totally different than what Egypt was. I'm going to give them a land where, you know, they have been in bondage and they have been enslaved there in Egypt. But I'm going to bring them out of that and I'm going to give them a land that will be theirs. I'm going to give them a land that will flow with milk and honey. I'm going to give them a land that is plentiful. I'm going to give them a land where they can dwell and they won't ever have to worry about being oppressed. The way that they have been oppressed there among the people there of Egypt when they were in bondage. I'm going to bring them into a land that is totally different than what they have experienced there in Egypt. And folks, I want to tell you something today. When the Lord saved my soul, he made me new. I mean, he completely changed me. I was not the person that I was before. My desires changed. My life changed. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said that's true for everybody that gets saved. Because he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so here I was, a young man. Here I was living this life of darkness, living this life of sin, living this life of slavery, living this life of bondage, afraid to die, afraid to live, you know, just a mess, you know, caught up in this horrible pit of sin, my feet mired down there in the miry clay, no way, you know, no power in myself to find my way out. And if you look in the third chapter of Exodus, you will find out that God didn't just show up out of nowhere, honestly, and come down and deliver Israel out of bondage. If you read the third chapter of Exodus, you'll find that when God came down was when he began to hear their cries. You see, they began to ask God for deliverance. They began to pray to God to deliver them from that awful situation. If you go to the 116th Psalm, you'll find where the psalmist said, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And he doesn't say, then the Lord showed up and delivered me. He says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And it was at that point that God came and delivered his soul. And the Bible says in the 10th chapter of Romans that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, God's not just going to reach down from heaven and force you to be saved, but he will hear your cries if you will call upon the name of the Lord. He is gracious to hear you and to bring you out of that horrible pit. David said after that, he said, he brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and did what? Set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praises to God. You know, those of you that are good enough to lead the singing here at our church, there's a reason why we sing in there, Brother Strode. There's a reason why we sing. There's something that we sing about. We sing not because we have elected to sing, not because that's just something that we have chosen to do, but we sing because God brought us up out of a horrible pit. He brought us up out of miry clay. He put something in our heart when he saved us that we'd never known before. He put a peace there where trouble had dwelt. He put light where darkness had dwelt. And he put a new song in our mouth. And that song was praises to God. And so we lift our voices with gladness of heart. We lift our voices to him. And we sing unto him. And we praise him. Listen, when you come to the house of God and you begin to sing, if you're not singing to the Lord, you're not singing right. If you're singing to somebody else, that's not what worship is about. We lift our voices and we sing to the God of heaven. We sing that new song that he put in our mouths and in our hearts when he called us out of darkness into what? Into his marvelous light. And we are, as his people, we are to show that forth. We are to show forth the praises of him who has done that, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So not only did God call me out of the darkness of sin, not only did he call me out of this world and call me unto a different type of life. I'm telling you, friends, God changed my life. He changed my life. And you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you today. If he would have left it up to me, I never would have changed it. And I don't believe any of you would have either. If he would have just left us to ourselves, we would have all continued in sin because that's what we do by nature. By nature, we are the children of wrath, even as others. And so had it not been for God intervening in our lives, had it not been for God dealing with us through the gospel, had it not been for God through his love wooing us and drawing us to him by the Holy Spirit, we would have never come to Him on our own. We would have continued in the path of sin. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh among the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature what?" Good people, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He saved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. By grace ye are saved. If I was getting today what I deserve, if you were getting today what you deserve, we wouldn't be here today worshiping the Lord like this. We'd be out somewhere following after our sinful ways. If I was getting what I deserve today, I'd have nothing to testify about. I'd have nothing to boast of in the Lord today. I'd just be lost. If I was getting what I deserve today, I'd be on my way to eternal torment. I'm telling you, folks, salvation is by grace. It's by God's grace. We don't merit it. We don't deserve it. God called us out of darkness. He called us out. I'm persuaded to believe that there won't be one of us when we step inside the gates of heaven, when we see the Lord, there won't be one of us that'll approach Him and say, "Oh, I'm glad I was such a good person. I'm glad that I did enough good things to be able to be here." No, we'll just humble ourselves at the feet of Jesus and thank Him for His grace. And thank Him for His mercy upon us. Thank Him for calling us out of the darkness of sin and into His marvelous light. You know, when I was growing up, I've always believed it's important to have friends. When I was growing up, I had people that I knew, people that I associated with. You know, I thought we were friends. And I suppose in some ways we were. But when God called me out of darkness, when he delivered me out of the bondage of sin, He brought me into a fellowship with people that have meant more to me in this life than anybody else ever has. He brought me into the fellowship of the saints. And what a great thing that it is. I want you folks to know today that you know, God has given us a love for each other that doesn't exist in a filial type manner. Listen, the agape love of God that binds Christian hearts together is a love that supersedes all loves. And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That new love that God places in our hearts when He calls us out of darkness is something that we didn't have before. We didn't know that before. But God sheds His love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and it helps us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. So God, you know, He brings us out of a horrible, horrible situation. And He brings us into His marvelous light. So a soul, my soul, I'll talk about my soul. You can talk about your soul. But my soul that was headed for eternal damnation, that was headed for eternal ruin, justly so and deservingly so, was changed when I called upon the name of the Lord. He brought me out of all that, brought me out of all of it. And when he brought me out of that, he brought me into his marvelous light. And now I can praise him and I can thank him. And not only here, but soon I'll have the opportunity to praise him in a better land, to praise him for eternity for what he did for me. You think about it with me today as I close the sermon. Of all the things that we do while we live here. Brother Lowe, I bet Brother Lowe could tell us a lot of things today about the years of his life, a lot of different things that he's done. But you think about it, all the things that we do here in this life. We get up from day to day. We start our day. We go to work. We raise our children. We have moments of happiness. We have moments of sadness. You know, we have moments of hard labor. We have moments where we sit down and rest. I mean, we have moments where we have days where we experience something that we normally don't see, and we might come home and we might tell our spouse, guess what I saw today? I mean, of all the things that we do in this life, but you think about it, those of us today that have been saved, we got that one little moment of time that everything hinges upon that. That one little second of time, that one little moment. I remember that moment. That one moment when God speaks his peace to our soul. You think about a whole lifetime. You might live 70 years. You might live 80 years. I don't know how many seconds there are in a life that's 70 years long or 80 years long. But that one little special moment of time that, you know, I mean, the other things really don't matter in comparison to that, do they? They just don't matter. I'm thankful today that God called me out of darkness and called me into his marvelous light. And if you're here today and you're lost, I've got great news for you. I mean, I got some wonderful news for you. God will do the same thing for you. He will do the same thing for you if you will come to him and call upon him. If you'll meet his conditions of repentance and faith, he will save you from your sins. He will call you out of that darkness, and he'll call you into his marvelous light. He'll make you one of his people. He'll make you one of his children. He'll make you his very own. So while we have a song, if you're lost and separated from God, we want to encourage you today to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. Come seeking him today with all of your heart. Come to the Lord determined to be saved. While we ask the congregation to stand and while we sing,